You're listening to the WTA Insider Podcast. Ready? Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the WTA Insider Podcast. I'm Courtney Nguyen, senior writer for WTA Insider at WTATennis.com, and I'll be your host on this podcast, where we take a closer to the players and all the action on the WTA Tour. Well, if you're looking ahead to the Australian Open, Karolina Pliskova did everything she needed to do this week at the Brisbane International to make sure her name ends up on a few pre-tournament lists. The 24-year-old Czech returned to the top five by capping off a dominant week here on the Gold Coast, cruising past number 41 Alize Cornet 6-love 6-3 in an hour and 6 minutes to win her seventh WTA title. En route to the title, Pliskova lost just one set, defeating Yulia Putintseva, Asia Mohamed, Roberta Vinci, and Alina Svitolina before saving her best for Cornet. Pliskova cracked 30 winners and won 90% of her first serve points in her defeat of Cornet. And in fact, in the last four sets Pliskova played here in Brisbane, she lost just 3 points behind her first serve. Needless to say, that singular shot dominated much of the discussion after the match. Cornet talked to reporters afterwards, and you can tell from her tone that she was both overwhelmed and impressed by what she saw on the court tonight.
Kind of. I can see she has a little bit more experience on this stage of the tournament, in this kind of tournament, because she started the match really strongly, returning well, serving very, very well, making a lot of aces, and being super aggressive. She was hitting all her strokes inside the baseline, while I was totally backed up far away from the baseline. I was a little bit tense, but I think she didn't give me a chance, you know, to get back in the match, and she was just too good for me tonight. I didn't expect that, actually, to be honest. She's serving really, really well. I mean, I played Serena a few times, and I could always be able to return a first serve. Like, somehow I could return. Against Karina, it's impossible to read it. That's the toughest thing ever. She has always the same toss. She just guides it with the wrist wherever she wants, and I mean the serve is minimum 175, 180 each time. So, and very precise and deep and powerful. I mean, wow! When you have a serve like this, it's such a weapon. And then the other one gets so stressed on her serve because you have the feeling you're serving so bad compared to her, and she puts so much pressure on your second serve. It's pretty much a nightmare, actually. So it makes me want to improve my own serve and be better next time.
Like, what did you want to do out there that you didn't was working?
Well, play tennis. Have fun. Something. I don't know. I was not expecting to take like 20 winners in 10 minutes. Everybody knows I have pretty good legs, like I run pretty well, but I just couldn't do anything. I was trying to dictate the point when I could, but actually I never had the chance, and when I had the chance I was like rushing because I was like, oh, what's going on? And that's why she's so good. I mean, she always puts pressure on you. And well, the plan before was a little bit what I did on the previous matches, which I just couldn't do because she was playing deeper and faster than the other girl I played against. So he told me to try to take my chances when I had the opportunity. But as I said, when I had a little one, I was just rushing and making the wrong choices. So it's gonna be very enriching for the. Even for the future, I just have to think a little bit about it. I guess her ball is a little bit similar to Kvitova because it's very flat and very deep. I don't know. It's like she can play so precisely. I don't know. I would say a little bit like Kvitova, but right-handed. But it's I think she even have a better hand than Petra, actually. And sometimes she can really create some nice stuff. She's not only like a big hitter, you know. She can she surprised me with some like nice touch, some drop shots, and I don't know, she's pretty unique, you know. And as I said on the court, I really believe she can win a slam pretty soon.
As for Pliskova, it was a perfect start to not just her season, but also her new partnership with coach David Cotiza, who we spoke to for the podcast earlier in the week. Her performance over the last 6 months on hard courts will put her on the short list of favorites for the Australian Open, a tournament she won as a junior in 2010 when she beat Laura Robson in the final.
I mean, I've been trying to have one toss for all serves, so the opponents doesn't know where I serve. So, I mean, that's a big advantage that they are guessing somehow the sides. And I've been seeing them that she's been moving right and left. And a few times I've been just serving the other side where she was actually moving. So that's why I did a lot of points from the first serve. Still, I think the serve wasn't the best today, especially the second set. I've been missing first serve, so I think even from the baseline was okay, but definitely the first serve was the serve better.
Carolina, speaking of your serve, is there a percentage number that you consider when you look at the stat sheet after your matches, okay, I served well today, or do you just think, is it by feel?
I still have some feelings about the serve, but then when I look at the percentage, it's not good at all. Like, I mean, all of the matches, but this I can still improve. I still have some aces, but the percentage is not always good. So, but when I look at it, when it's over 60 or let's say over 55, most of the time I win the matches. So. That's just for me, just to look on the percentage, it's important, and I just need to improve this, because once the serve is going in, doesn't have to be ace, I just have really a lot of more easy points from the serve, and then I can, you know, even play more aggressive on the return. So that's the main goal for me on the service games.
Based on tonight,
it's almost inevitable that you're going to win a slam. Is that something that you set yourself on?
I mean, everyone is saying that, but it's not that easy. So definitely I'm going to try, but let's see. I still have to work on myself in a few things, and it's not that easy as to win. I would not say it's easy to win a tournament, but there are still two more matches more than in normal tournament, so you still have to be ready for everything, and there's going to be harder opponent than I had this week. And so it would be long. I already knew I had that experience in New York to stay till the last day there. So, I think I have a good chance, but I still have to believe in myself, work on myself, and let's see. Also, important thing is, I think, the draw for me. So I need just to kind of have some players which I like, which is also important on Grand Slam, to just have a little bit luck with the draw. But, I mean, anything is possible, so let's see.
First talk with your new coach. Does he deserve a pay rise yet?
I was saying, like, come on, this start, now it can be only worse. So, let's see. It's tough to say. I think he definitely helped me in a few things, but it just everything so quick that obviously I think I can still play better than I was playing this tournament, but it was enough for every match here, and we've been working on a few things in the last month when I was doing preparation at home. So he's just showing me new stuff what I was not able to do before. So so far working. So let's hope we can still improve, and let's hope this is not the best result what we're gonna have.
And now here's my sit down interview with Pliskova for our Champions Corner. I sat down with her after all her post-match media obligations were efficiently dispatched to talk about the evolution of her game and her attitude, as well as the prospects of going into a big tournament like the Australian Open as a potential favorite. All right, well, it's the first Champions Corner of the season, and I'm here with the Brisbane International Champion, Carolina Pliskova. Congratulations, Carolina, on a successful start to the season.
Thank you. Very excited with the win this week in Brisbane. I think I played some good matches, especially the one today. I think was so far the best in the tournament. And so I won my first title in this year, first tournament. So really good start.
Very good start. And one question I had for you is just, you know, talking about experience, right? This is your 15th final, I think, now 7th title. The experience of playing a final has to be easier now than it was in the first one, but can you talk about kind of how different you feel on court now during finals compared to maybe a year ago?
Definitely, it's something different. It's just different match than the one before, or than first rounds or second round. So you just have to give everything what you have in the final, because you know it's last one, and there's nothing after this match. So I was just able to do it today. And but on the other hand, you still have to be aggressive and just don't play passive. That's what I cannot do. So I was playing my game, and you always have to play the best tennis in the finals because there's another great opponent which also won 4 matches. Right. So you just have to be ready even for anything. Everything is possible. And yeah, so excited that I won it. I lost few actually, but hopefully it can change in the future.
Yeah, I think you've slowly turned around your final record. You know, for a while there you kept getting nipped in the bud, but so far so good. But yeah, speaking of that kind of experience in the finals and dealing with that pressure, how do you deal with it differently now? Is it just because you're used to what it feels like to play a final, or do you prepare differently, you know, for it now so that you manage it better?
I don't prepare differently, I would say, but I just try to take it as a normal match, even it's tough sometimes. But, you know, I played a few finals, I lost few, I won few, so I just know how it is when it goes both ways. So obviously the one when you win is definitely better, but not always it goes like this. So definitely always also better to play someone who is behind you in the ranking, and I think I was a little bit more experienced than she was today, but... yeah, although still it was tough.
Yeah, no, the score line was what it was, but the second set, it did seem to get a little bit closer. It looked like she kind of had a few more chances and things like that. But how much confidence do you take out of the fact that the players that you beat this week are kind of that type of player, the player that gets the extra ball back, you know, Vinci slicing and dicing, you know, the type of player that maybe typically one would think might cause you problems, but you seem to handle it pretty well?
Yeah, I think a big plus for me was that I had pretty much all week the same players with the same style, so it helped me. Just I was not changing any tactics, just a little bit, and I was still playing my aggressive game, and I think I was playing all week pretty solid from the baseline, and still going for my shots but not missing much, which is important, and also serving well, which was also important. Because then if everything is going through the rally, it's tough with those players when they are not missing much. And still the hardest match was against Vinci. I think she gave me a good lesson with the slices and definitely with her game. So I was prepared for the next two still similar opponents, but I think a little bit worse than Vinci.
Yeah. You know, everybody talks about the serve. Everybody talks about the forehand, the backhand, the power that you have. But one thing that's always really impressed me about your game is your touch. You know, you're one of the best doubles players in the world, obviously. You qualify for Singapore, you play with Yulia. But, you know, talk about the development of your game that way. I mean, because when you get drawn into that weird part of the court, kind of the middle part of the court where a lot of people don't know what to do, you seem to know what to do. And you come up with something interesting every time. So you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but it seems like it happens more often than not.
No, actually, this is saying my coach David right now, that I'm one of the best when you get somewhere in the middle of the court, because no one is playing there. So you just have to even move forward or just stay back. But I'm just staying somewhere in the middle, which is, I think, not good, but I got used to it, and I actually now can know how to play the shots there. It's always difficult shot because you always have it somewhere under the legs, but
yeah, you have to be low to hit that shot usually.
Yeah, definitely, and you also have to have a good hand, so which I do sometimes. And yeah, I've been improving the shot, but definitely that's not something what I want to play. I just want to go even closer and have easier ways, because this doesn't have to go every time in from my side. So definitely we want to improve this thing.
You do get caught there, but at least you know how to deal with it. That's good. But I mean, have you always been comfortable at the net? Like, even when you were younger and playing through juniors and things, are you comfortable up there?
Not at all. It's
really
it's improving, but since I think the doubles with Yulia really helped me, that I was playing some doubles a lot last year, even the year before, but last year we played really good, and we're gonna continue this year.
Cool.
The same thing. So I think you have to play volleys in doubles, so I think this really helped me. And also on the other hand, we are still practicing just to moving and approaching the shots and going to the net, so I still think it can improve a lot, and it's not the best, but I'm doing actually a lot of points on the net.
Yeah, no, it definitely. It's a great part of your game. I think that's changed a lot over the last few years. But, you know, you're playing Sydney next week. Eventually, there's going to be Melbourne. You're not going to go under the radar, I have a suspicion, at the Australian Open. I think people are going to have their eye on you a little bit in terms of, you know, being one of the shortlist favorites for the title. Do you think that are you ready for that kind of experience? Because at the Open, maybe people weren't talking about you as much until you beat Venus, you know?
I'm excited and open to new things. I've been playing my first final in US Open and ready for even next one if it's possible. If I'm playing well, like I was playing this week, I think I can make it, let's say, fourth round, and then let's see which opponents are there, and I just have to deal with everyone who's going to be in the draw, which not every player is easy for me, but let's just try. And I'm not going to feel any pressure. Obviously, the people's going to talk that I have a good chance. Like, I'm hearing this like more often and often that I'm going to win a Grand Slam this year, but I don't care if it's this year or next year. I want to try every Grand Slam and do the best results there.
Even from you, I've noticed that sometimes in interviews, you're much more, confident in your game. Like, you know that your game can be, like you said, I think beginning of the tournament, that your game can beat 99% of the players out there when you're on, and you know that. When did you realize that? When did you kind of get that self-confidence?
I mean, I always knew I have a big game, so if I'm playing well, I can beat the good, even the good players, the best players, but it's just tough somehow sometimes to play the best tennis on the big stages, and now I think I finally got used to it, and I'm not scared from anything, not from the opponents, not from myself, not from the crowd, from anything, so, and this just probably takes time with me and some experience which I have now, so... Yeah, I think it's possible to beat. Now I say 100%.
I love it. I love the improvement from 99% to 100%. That's fair. But, great week this week in Brisbane. Good luck next week. And we'll talk to you very, very soon, I think.
Thank you. See you soon.
And that's a wrap on this episode of the WTA Insider Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or on any podcast app of your choice to ensure you never miss an episode when they go live. Reviews are always helpful, so if you like what you've heard so far, please do leave us one. They help a lot. And you can also get new episode alerts by following us on Twitter at WTA_insider. And we'll, of course, post the podcast on the WTA website at WTATennis.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.